Bible, if you would, please. Find two passages of Scripture. Both of them will be in your New Testament. One will be in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 16. And one will be in the very next book, 2 Corinthians, chapter number 8. 1 Corinthians, chapter number 16. We'll get there in just a moment. 2 Corinthians, chapter number 8. You will make your way to the first verse of chapter number 8 of 2 Corinthians. I'd like to read as introduction the first four verses. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. If you have a pen and you have a habit of writing in your Bible, if I was you, I would underline those four words, ministering to the saints. If you were to come to the very first verse of chapter number 9 in the same book, you will find the same phrase, for as touching the ministering to the saints. I would underline it there as well, and somewhere in the side of your Bible, I would make the notation of the word missions. When you read in chapters 8 and chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians, the phrase ministering to the saints, this is the Apostle Paul teaching the church at Corinth and thus teaching you and I on the subject of missions to the local New Testament Bible believing church. And the Apostle Paul referenced it as to the ministering of the saints. Last week, Brother Conrup did a phenomenal job introducing us to the subject of missions. Every September, our church sets aside a couple of weeks and we focus on worldwide missions. When I say worldwide missions, what am I talking about? I'm talking about our understanding of the call of God upon our life and our responsibility as individuals and as an individual church to be the one, that would see that the gospel is proclaimed around the world. In order for the gospel to be proclaimed powerfully around the world, then the power of God must burn brightly upon our church as an individual church, and it must burn brightly upon you as an individual believer. Brother Conrup presented to us what most Bible preachers will present to you as missions broken down into three responsibilities as for a church person. You might remember them. They were three very simple words. They were the words going, praying, and giving. When you as a believer think about missions and you know the Word of God, you find that you have a trifold responsibility when it comes to missions in your life. You have the responsibility to go and be a missionary. And you may not go over across the seas into a foreign land, But you and I are to be missionaries within the realities of our lives, within our own homes, within our own employments, within our communities and our neighbors, and within our relationships. You and I have the responsibility to go and proclaim the gospel. If you understand that, would you say amen to that? Second responsibility that they deal with is praying, which means this. We have the responsibility to pray. Brother Connor talked to us about that. Praying for our missionaries. Praying for the fields, praying for the gospel to go and affect the hearts of folks. And so God's people are to be missionaries, but God's people are to be praying for missions. The third way that it breaks down when it comes to the Word of God is on the subject of giving, on the subject of finances, on the subject of financially supporting and giving to missions. Because ministry does take money. It takes a lot of money. And the Bible teaches us about that. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9. The Apostle Paul is once again reminding the church at Corinth about these three responsibilities they have when it comes to missions. Would you go to chapter 16? Don't lose your place. We're coming right back to chapter 8, and we will come back to 16, so you'll need to flip. But you'll find in chapter 16 of 1 Corinthians, verse number 1, Paul has written this letter probably a year prior to 2 Corinthians, and he begins chapter 16, verse number 1, with the word now. Now, concerning the collection for the saints. Once again, we figure out here they have the word saints. Once again, we're talking about finances here. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. So a year prior to 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul has already introduced the church at Corinth to the subject of missions. He's introduced them to the responsibility to go as missionaries, to pray as missionaries, and to give as missions, give to missions. And he's given advice or the word of God on the subject of the collection for the saints. In your bulletin today, you found this white card. For some of you, it's brand new. It's the first time you've ever been to our church in the month of September. For many of us, we have seen this card many times. This will be the 14th time that I've been a member of Plantation Baptist Church that I have seen this card. This card is our church's recognition of the collection for the saints. We use this card to determine from our church and from you as an individual how we are going to be involved in financially giving so that the gospel can go around the world. And our church, being 56 years old, we have literally sent millions of dollars into the fields that missionaries can use to win people to the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want you to have this card in sight. I'll address it in just a few moments, but you'll need it for the message. And so when you come to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9, the Apostle Paul is giving a summation on a Christian doctrine entitled the Doctrine of Giving. Look, if you would, please, at 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. And look, if you would, at verse number 7. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, speaking to you, those of us that know the Lord, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I have in my Bible written beside that verse, the grace of giving. And so the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and chapter 9, he is as an apostle inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, giving to the church at Corinth and thus giving to you and I a summation on the doctrine of giving that ought to be part of our lives. I have a passionate goal and drive, fear, and responsibility that I feel as your pastor. I want, when my time is done here at Plantation Baptist Church, and you remember me whenever that is. By the way, I don't have any time for that unless you kill me or God moves me, one of the two. I want you to say that while Tom was our pastor, he was faithful to be our pastor. I find within my gut as a preacher that I have developed a strong fear of the Lord. I care what God thinks about me. I care what God knows about me. I care what God sees about me. And I find so many times as serving as a pastor in the role of shepherding God's people, it is a role that is not within the ability that I have as a human or as a man. It must be only the ability that the Holy Spirit of God gives to me. But I feel that drive to be responsible to you. I introduce you to my drive here and my fear here because I want you to understand what I'm doing today is not easy. Anytime the preacher preaches about money, it's not easy. I would love to preach about anything but the love of God, faith. I would love to preach. But I'm told as a pastor to preach the whole counsel of the Word of God. So let me just show you where I got my strength from today. Go, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Look, if you would, at verse number 6. In so much, Paul's referencing the church at Corinth here, that we desired, say his name, Titus. Now, you know there's a book of the Bible called Titus. It's in the New Testament. You know that Titus is a young preacher boy. You know that Titus had yielded himself to the Apostle Paul, and the Apostle Paul would place him in different cities to pastor or teach the people. Such is the case here in Corinth, that Paul had sent Titus to Corinth, and he sent Titus to Corinth the first time with a stinging letter that the Apostle Paul had written as the inspired word of God, because the church at that time was involved in sin and they were not spiritually right. So Paul sent Titus there as a young preacher boy to stand in the gap, to herald the word of God, to bring to them the word of God. And look, if you would, at verse number 6. As we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. What is the Bible saying here? The Bible is saying is that it is the pastor's responsibility to preach missions to the people of God. And so, with that responsibility, I want to preach today's subject, a sermon entitled, The Grace of Giving. And I want to preach it, Lord willing, with power and authority. I want to teach it. I want it to move you. I want it to stir you. I want you to understand it and know it and see it. Here's my biggest fear. My biggest fear is not for the new person getting mad. My biggest fear is for the experienced Christian to be bored. Or for you to sit there and think, I already know everything there is to know about missions. Well, great, then you come up here and I'll sit down. No. So take your pen out and write some truths down. Here's what we're talking about. When Paul sums up the doctrine of Christian giving, I need you to understand that in verse number 7, he's talking about here that when he sums up the doctrine of giving, he's summing it up as a grace. Verse number 7, he tells Titus that he would finish that grace. Verse number 6, that he would finish that grace in them. In verse number 7, he tells God's people that they are to abound in this grace as well. Hear me, write this down. Giving is a grace. Tithing is a command. Giving is a grace. Tithing is a command. I need you to understand, church family, if we're going to understand missions, I need you to understand church finance. We are not talking about, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapters 9, we're not talking about tithing. We're talking about giving. Pastor, I always thought that tithing and giving were the same thing. No, my friends, you will find that when the Bible talks about tithing, tithing is that part of the income that you, God has increased you with, that belongs to Him. Tithing is a command. If you made $10 this week, one of those dollars belongs to the Lord. So we're not talking about tithing here. We're talking about a collection or a ministering for the saints. What saints? Not the saints that were in Corinth. These would be the saints that were outside of Corinth. This wasn't an offering for the church. This was an offering to be given toward missions. And so what we're talking about here is not tithing as a command. We're talking about giving as a grace. Tell me you've heard those words by saying amen. You're commanded to bring God's tithe. I don't understand how Christian people don't tithe. Blows my mind how Christian people don't tithe. Blows my mind. I don't understand it. It's all in the Bible. I don't know how God can increase you and bless you and give you a job and give you health and give you a brain and give you money and do that and not God's people bring to God what belongs to Him. I guess I will die never knowing it. I'm just going to tell you this. The people that bring God His tithe are people who are blessed by God. We're not talking about tithing. Here's why I need you to understand this. Because when you preach to missions to the church can get all fired up about missions. And if they don't understand Bible finance, what they do is they have a number in their mind that they'll give every week. And so what they're doing is they've been giving to the general fund or giving it as a tithe and an offering. And now they're stirred for missions. So they just take that amount of money and then they just bring that over here and they give it to missions. If everybody in the church, if we gave all of our money to missions, then there would be nothing in the tithe to care for the church or to care for God's people or to work here. So we're not talking about taking the tithe and switching it over to missions. You ever done that? Well, Pastor, I want to give to missions, but you know my tithe is $100 a week, so I'm just going to take $50 of that and give to missions now and give 50. No, don't do that. Don't do that. That's biblically out of order. You're doing more harm to Plantation Baptist Church than you're doing good if you do that. Okay, you need to understand some things about that. So, what we're talking about here is we're talking about more. Basically, we're talking about more. Pastor, you're talking about more money? That's all you preachers want is more money. I promise you, I don't want more money from you. I just want you to do what God tells you to do. Okay? Can I just give you a little bit about what your pastor does? Just so you understand what I do. So you understand that I'm not preaching to you anything that I don't practice myself. We get a paycheck every week on Thursday. Bev and I do. We bring 10% of the gross of that money as the tithe. On top of that 10%, we throw more money as an offering. On top of that, I bring my grace offering of giving for missions. On top of that, I support two children down to Haiti. On top of that, I give to a building fund when I can, or as God enables us. On top of that, if there's a love offering that goes through, we try to participate in that. I just need you to know that your pastor practices what he preaches. Okay? So I'm not preaching to you something I'm not doing. So we're not talking about the tithe. That's a whole different message. We're talking about more. That's why the Apostle Paul references it as a grace, not a command. Where does this grace come from? Look, if you would, at verse number 8. I speak not by commandment, but by the occasion of the forwardness of others to prove the sincerity of your love. Now look at verse number 9. For you know the grace of who, class? Our Lord Jesus Christ. that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." So here's what the Apostle Paul is saying. I know I'm presenting to you this responsibility to participate in missions. I know that I'm telling you and preaching to you that, about it being more than just the tithe. It's a grace. Now, I need you to understand where the grace comes from. This is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you talk about grace, there's something in the Bible called serving grace. And this is what is grace? Grace is the enablement that God gives to his child to make them to be able to serve the Lord. This grace comes through the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit of God. It's received by prayer and walking in obedience to the Holy Spirit. So Paul's presenting to them the doctrine of giving, which is a doctrine of grace, and it really is the work that God does in my heart. And it's the work that God does within my heart, because it's the grace that came from the heart of God. I've told you over and over and over again, whenever you preach about missions, you're preaching about the heartbeat of God. Now, because it is a grace and not a command, you will find that it's a voluntary deal. Pastor's not preaching to you a command. When I preached on tithing, I'll do that, but I'm not doing that. What I'm preaching to you now is this work of grace that God does in my heart that allows me to see people dying and going to hell, allows me to see the program of missions, allows me to see myself involved in that, whether praying, going, or giving. And God does this burning and twisting inside of me to do whatever I can so that the gospel can be heard around the world. Look, if you would, at verses 8 to 12. As it is a voluntary offering, and by the way, our card references that as a voluntary offering, it does do a couple of things. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others to prove the, say that word, class, and of your, say that word, love. The doctrine of giving is a test of sincerity and of love. It's proof, is what the Bible says in verse number 8. It says it again in verse number 24. It proves sincerity and love in the heart of God's child. This is why it's voluntary. I did not tell Beverly and command her to marry me. I have found, being married 24 years, I can't command her to do anything. Can I get an amen, man? Chicken, chicken, chicken. Guy came into my office and said, "I want you to tell my wife and command her to obey me." I said, "You first, buddy." there we go. All right? It's not a command here. It's a voluntary deal, and it proves sincerity and love. Well, Pastor, God knows that I sincerely love him. We're not talking about proving something to God. God knows everything. We're talking about proving you to you. Well, what do you mean proving me to me? Yeah, right. We're proving you to you. God knows everything. You can't prove anything to God. What are you going to prove to God? God knows everything. Well, Paul says, now, this work of grace that God does in your heart, it absolutely is a voluntary deal within you. However, as you receive and you abound in this grace, it evidences the sincerity of your heart. It evidences the love that you have for the Lord and for the Word and for what God has called you. And really and truthfully, it evidences that solely to you. By the way, when you look at this card, church family, your pastor doesn't know what people give. It amazes me. You'd be amazed how many people come and apologize to me because they didn't bring their offering. Like I know what they're doing. So they'll say, Pastor, you may have noticed I haven't given in a couple of months. No, the pastor doesn't know if you give or don't give. I could not pastor you if I knew that. I can't. So I don't know that. There's no place for your offering. This is just between you and, no place for your name. This is just between you and the Lord. And so as the Lord does this work in my heart and how I respond to that on a voluntary basis evidences my sincerity and my love. Nothing really brings you closer to the Lord than how you deal with the Lord with your finances in your life. As you notice here, look at verse number 7 of chapter number 9 so you don't get all bent out of shape on me. I want you to see something biblical here. This is how this is supposed to be done. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not, say the word, or of necessity, for God loveth a, say that, those two words. Okay, so what is he trying to say? He's trying to say here that this ain't something that your pastor's trying to strong arm you or manipulate you in some way. You can't take this piece of paper and say, well, I love the Lord, I'm sincere, here, there you go. I don't want that. God doesn't want that. God doesn't want that. Here's what God wants you to do. God just wants you to deal with your heart. God just is asking you here to purpose in your heart, not grudgingly or of necessity. God loves a cheerful or hilarious or at peace giver. God doesn't want you to just to be angry about it. He wants you to be able to celebrate what he has done in your life. And by the way, it's a great joy to give to missions. A great joy to give to missions. I want to say this. And now you need to just let your pastor, sometimes you just got to hear things from your pastor. If the offering aggravates you, that's not normal in the life of a Christian. In the life of a Christian, you don't find yourself angry with God about finances. Now, sometimes I think, Lord, man, I sure could use this money in other places, or Lord, I sure could do something different here, but this belongs to you, and I want this to go around the world, and I'm trusting here, and I understand I got what I have. And sometimes I approach giving to the Lord, I guess I would say hesitantly or timidly or reverently, because I know where I find, but never am I angry about it. Never does it come out of some necessity, like, okay, here you go, you mean person. There's nothing mean about God. Right. So that's not how a believer operates there. What we're talking about here in the doctrine of giving is voluntary. It's up to you. It just tests the sincerity in your love. By the way, the Bible says, where your heart is, there will your treasure be. Treasure be. So if my heart is touched, it's just normal within humanity and with the Word of God for my money to be there. Now, it doesn't need to get out. It has a purpose and a place where God works on that, but that's just evidence there. By the way, this is something that people struggle with too. Not only is it a voluntary, but it's also to abound in every believer. Look at verse number 7 of chapter 8 again. It says, every believing man and woman. Go, if you would, to chapter 8, verses 1 to 3. When we checked in verse number 2, when we read the word poverty. So you deal with the poor in chapters 8, verses 1 to 3. And when you come over here to verses 12 to 15 of chapter 8, you see the abundance there of that. For what it is, look, if you would, it says in verse 14, but by inequality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want. So what are you trying to say? That this doctrine of of giving, this grace of giving, this work that God does in the heart to enable the child of God is available to every child of God, poor or rich. So you can't be sitting there thinking, I either have not or I do have. This is a responsibility for all of us that know the Lord. Well, Pastor, man, we got all kinds of people in here. We have unemployed people in here. We've got students in here. We've got retirees in here. We've got minimum wage workers in here. We have wealthy people in here. We have middle class people in here. We've got all types of financial situations here. Fine, and God understands that. But there is one unity that unites us, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. So as a believer, you can't just dismiss this because you're a senior saint or you're poor. And you can't dismiss it because you're wealthy. Every man has a responsibility when it comes to missionary giving. Now watch how God does this. Look at verse number 12 so you don't get a wrong opinion of the Lord. Chapter 8. For if there be first a, say those two words, willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath and not according to that he hath not. It's proportioned to your income. That's what Paul's talking about here. So he's not asking somebody to give what they don't have. He's saying that if you have a willing mind, what is a willing mind? Okay, Lord, the pastor's preached about our responsibility in this doctrine of grace that you want to do in our hearts when it comes to missions. And this is what we're being challenged to do. This is a biblical situation. Lord, this is what I have. What do you want me to do? By the way, that's the greatest question you could ever ask the Lord. I'll give you a little help. Sounds wonderfully spiritually, but the answer will be terribly frightening. Because whenever you ask God what he wants, it'll always be more than what you think. And so, here, Lord, this is what I have. I don't have a job. I don't have any income. I don't know anything. I remember my kids before they had a job. They would give $2 or $3 a week to missions. I think most of the time they took that out of my wallet. But they didn't have a job. But I found that as they begin to give to missions, God began to meet their need, and they begin to be able to do that. And now they're able; they do have jobs, and now they're able to give more. So it's proportioned to income, and you have to think about it that way. Okay, Lord, and the Lord's not trying to be overburdened or taxing. There's no percentage to giving. This is what you purpose in your heart. And the purposing in your heart has to be on a cheerful level. Now, there is a percentage to the tithe. The tithe is what percentage, class? We're talking about more. Hear this. I've said this before. Giving starts at 11%. So if you make 100 grand a year, your giving doesn't even start until after $10,000. That $10,000 belongs to the Lord. I know. Hurry up, Pastor. Say that again, Pastor. My giving doesn't even start until 11%. Right. You can't give what doesn't belong to you. Pastor, why would you preach so fervently about this? I just want to show you my heart in verse number 11, chapter 9. Being, what's the second word there, class? Enriched in everything to all what? Right. When I was a little boy, my dad preached faith promise missionary giving. I didn't have a job. I had to be 11, probably 12 when I first understood it. The first thing I did was I found myself in the trap too. I did two things. First off, I didn't have it, but I committed to giving it. So every week I would walk along the roadside looking for pop cans. You don't know what pop is. Soda. And in Michigan, you get 10 cents back for the can. They charge you that 10 cents when you buy it, and then you get the 10 cents back. And so I would literally walk up and down M88 or ride on my bike, and I would look for the pop cans. And then I guess my kids came by it naturally, because when I didn't find them on the road, I stole them out of my parents' pop cans thing, went and traded them in, and gave my faith promise missionary. My dad paid a lot of my faith promise when I was growing up. But God began to bless. I'll never forget the one time I did have a job, and I turned in a card, but I didn't turn in the amount that God wanted me to give. I turned in a short amount, and I shortened the Lord. And then God got a hold of my heart, and he said, "Tommy, what are you doing?" I said, "Lord, I don't want to give $10 a week. I want to give $5 a week." And I was 14 years old, and God said, "No, I want you to give $10 a week. I just got this job about 90 days prior to that." So I went and I asked for my card back, and I turned in a new card. And I said, "Okay, Lord, I'll give that money, but I don't know how that's going to work out." And the boss called me into his office the next week, sat me down, and it was in the summertime, and gave me a 25-cent an hour raise. And God gave me my faith promise. I was a teenage boy. I have learned from that time until a 45-year-old man that God has the ability to enrich my life. What I am preaching to you is your opportunity to participate with God in missions, but it's also God's opportunity to enrich us. Now that doesn't mean you're going to be wealthy. Let me just show you what that enrichment is, and let me give them to you quickly. Look, if you would, at chapter 8, verse number 2. Write these four things down. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their, what class? Joy. I have found that as I have presented, worked with the Lord, and I have actively involved in faith promise missionary giving, that one of the enrichments that happens in my life is joy. The Bible said it is more blessed to than to receive. And I can't explain this to you other than the fact that joy is a work and a blessing that God bestows upon me as I abound in that grace of giving. So man, I take joy when the missionaries come. I take joy when people are coming to know the Lord. And whenever there's this giving part, it just builds within my heart a joy, an emotional enrichment. And when I put my offering in, and you see me do it at the 8:30, they probably wonder if I give at 11 o'clock because I never put it in there. I always give it here, but I always put it in there. When I put my offering plate in there, I'm always thinking, "Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God." And I don't know about you, but as I tithe and as I give, I find that there's a unique joy that God brings to our life. If you know that, would you say amen? Number 2, chapter 9, look at verse number 6 through verses 11. "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also" how? "Bountifully. Look, every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." Verse number 8 I'm dealing with on Wednesday night. Look at verse number 9. "As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever." That's talking about the Lord. "Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown," and what's the next word class? "Increase the fruits of your righteousness." So as I'm enriched in my in my emotion with joy and participating here. I'm also enriched in the increase of my ability. What am I trying to say by that? I'm trying to say this, that as I have responded to God in giving, it started out small, but now it has grown to much. And I'm telling you, as it grows, I look back over my life and I don't see where I've lost anything. I see where God has provided more than I could ever ask or think. And so as I'm participating in giving, you will find that God is always increasing my ability to give. I was so stupid one time. A few years ago, I said, you know what, Lord, I'm going to do something here. I'm going to increase what I'm giving. And then I'm going to keep a log sheet to make sure that you're giving it back to me. Pastor, you do stupid spiritual things? Yes. That's why Pastor Beverly has to help me. That's a joke, by the way. You know, I had that piece of paper for 1 week. And in 1 week, I'd already filled up one side and was so overwhelmed. I was like, forget this, man. I just know I'll never outgive God. Number three, verse number 12. There's an enrichment in my thankfulness to God. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us, say those three words, thanksgiving to God. Well, you know, nothing really keeps me closer to the Lord than finances in my life. Nothing really enables me to see the power of God more in my personal life than finances. Nothing keeps me closer there. I feel like I'm constantly dealing with the Lord on finances as to what my needs are, as to what he wants me to give. And it's kind of a little world that I live in. I have a little spot in my house where I do my bills. Does any other man have a spot in your house where you do your bills? I'm the only person that has that spot. Does anybody have a spot in your house where you pray? Oh, I should ask it this way. Does any woman have a spot in her house where she does her bill? There we go. Look. Men. I got to write that down. That's a message right there, baby. I have this little spot. I sit in that little chair, put my little computer out there, got my little checkbook, got it all there. I'm telling you something. Many times I've sat in that place, leaned back in my chair, lifted up my hands, and said, thank you, God, for being a marvelous God, faithful and providing and caring for me. Man, it's wonderful. Lastly, verses 13 to 14, it increases the gospel reach. It increases the gospel reach. The gospel reach in my life. I'm not called to go around the world. I'm called to be your pastor. But I have the ability to participate in the gospel reach as I give. So let me wrap it up. I'm presenting to you and have presented to you the missions program from Plantation Baptist Church as we see it in the Bible. I am presenting to you a grace that God wants to abound in your life. I am presenting to you a grace that as you allow it to abound in your life, you will know the blessing of God so greatly in your life. But you got to understand biblical finance. You can't touch God's tithe. You can't do it. It's better for your sakes that if you're not tithing, you probably don't want to give to missions. Why would you say that? Because God wanted me to, number one. Number two, you don't have the right to take something that doesn't belong to you and give it. Can't do that. Stop doing that. Bring God his tithe. Start there. And then let God develop that. You will find that as you trust God financially, he'll be faithful. He'll be faithful. I can't make you do it. I'm just telling you it's a joy to do it. Shall we pray?